Welcome to a most unique and peculiar episode of the Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and joining me once again, the RNC to my DNC, it's Dan.
I don't remember how to talk. It's been so long. Hey. I have been absent for a long time, so it's been a while. I'm not sure, but I've still in spirit. I've been behind the scenes, you know, doing audio finagling. So I'm still, you know, kind of there.
Yeah, I mean, we would not have been able to get out the last few podcasts that I recorded with both Cade and Jason if you had not, you know, squirreled yourself away in a motel room on your vacation to do some audio magic, as well as when you got home. So yeah, you're fingerprints are still all over this podcast as far as I'm concerned. So, like you said, you're here in spirit, even if you're not here in voice. Plus, you probably get mentioned more than anyone else does on every podcast I'm on, whether it's on our podcast or on a guest appear on other podcasts. See, I go out of my way to mention you. Just saying.
Thank you. I mention you, too, but it's usually, like, you know, in private because I'm just complaining.
Well, I was like,
I'm kidding.
I put on the Geek Girl Scoop one that you were on, and after about 20 minutes, like, he's not going to mention me? Fuck him, and I turned it off. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, keeping up our professionalism. I had mentioned in our little opening here, and people could tell from the music that opened this podcast, there's something weird going on here. So let me fill you guys in on what I'm doing. This podcast, well, it is one that started as a joke. It's a joke, I think, that even got repeated a few times on our podcast, I think even on the Facebook page once or twice. So anyone who's been a regular listener, specifically of our more superhero-themed podcasts, you may recall I am not the biggest fan of the TV series Gotham, or as our friend Mike Moody has coined the phrase, Gotham, which I think is brilliant, by the way. So as such, and if you listen to those podcasts, I've had a few rants over the past year, you know, that may have each lasted a few or several minutes and may have had a few coarse words sprinkled here and there, you know. So I think there was one time, totally in jest, it was suggested that I should record myself watching the show, and maybe I could even be enjoying an alcoholic beverage or three while I'm commenting on whatever glorious crap fest is being squeezed out before my eyes. Was it you that actually made that suggestion, or was it Vicky?
Yeah.
I think you brought it up first.
I'm pretty sure Vicky never would suggest anybody drink. So
no, she absolutely did not mention the drinking. No, but I think she actually echoed the idea of me recording, just talking about it. You know, so like I said, it came up a few times, and I started thinking about it. I was like, I wonder if I could actually do it. You know, based on just, you know, my lack of technological prowess or whatnot. So I had stockpiled a number of Gotham episodes in the DVR. So late one night, a couple weeks ago, I decided to give it a shot. So, God help us all, tonight we are presenting my commentary of a Gotham episode. It was one from this past March that was titled, This Ball of Mud and Meanness. Title's probably the best thing about the episode. So, anyway, we'll be back after it's over for a few final remarks, but for now, come join us, or I guess join me, for what might be the most idiotic podcasting experiment ever, and listen as I watch Gotham.
Well, welcome to what will either be a terrific or horrific experiment I am about to embark on. I have stockpiled the final 9 episodes of the second season of Gotham. I believe the last time I watched an episode must have been in early March, when they had just finished a two-parter that dealt with Mr. Freeze. And of course they annoyed me right off the fucking bat by saying his name is pronounced Victor Fries. So what's next? Is it Lieutenant Gordon? Eddie Nigma? Fuck you, Gotham. His name is Freeze. You didn't have to fucking change it. Stupid assholes. Anyway, it's the little things that fucking bug me with the show, even more than the big things, like how stupid it is. So, I'm getting ready to watch this, gonna record it, do not have anything prepared, don't know what the episodes are about, didn't even look at what the episode descriptions are. I know the title, that's about it. I believe the title of this one is This Ball of Meanness and Mud, or This Ball of Mud and Meanness, something like that. I know it aired on March 14th earlier this year. And I do have a very tall glass of a beverage at my side, so I will be drinking to help get me through this. I've already started, as you may be able to tell. I'm sure there will be parts where I won't be talking nonstop because I am actually watching it. So you may have moments where it's literally just me watching TV. I will try to make those minimal whenever possible. But I'm sure that's going to happen from time to time. Especially if I'm drinking, I'm probably going to forget. So, whatever. Anyway, let me just refresh my glass here just so I'm a bit more prepared. That's going to be strong. And let's get this show started. You'll probably be able to hear it in the background, I'm sure. Okay, so we're beginning with the previously on Gotham. So, what's going on here? Oh, that's right. So young Bruce Wayne is still on the trail of his parents' killers. Or killer, I should say. And apparently they're saying the killer was Matches Malone. Which might be annoying to many longtime comic book readers, because Matches Malone is actually the name of an alias that Bruce Wayne slash Batman would use whenever he was going undercover. Guy who was always lighting matches with his fingers and smoking. Back in the days where you could smoke. Or is he just lighting matches? Maybe he didn't smoke. Anyway, doesn't really matter. It's annoying, because for 70-something years, the guy who killed Bruce Wayne's parents is Joe Chill. So, fuck you, it's not Matches Malone. Anyway, the episode has started, and we've got Penguin's mother in this scene, so this is obviously a dream or hallucination or something. Fucking Penguin's mother. So, I'm guessing she's my third least favorite character ever on this show. Got your Barbara Gordon, got your Fish Mooney, and yeah, Penguin's mother. Only because it's Carol Kane that she not go above the other two. Alright, so Penguin's all tied up and bound and gagged, and he's got his doppelganger who's about to bash his mom's head into the bat, which of course we're not going to see. I'm surprised we didn't hear the crunching of the bat hitting her skull or something. Okay, so Dr. Hugo Strange and his little lab assistant, doctor, whoever the fuck she is, they're doing some sort of virtual reality torture on the prisoners. I think it's to help make them more docile, but Hugo Strange is, like, a really bad guy. And he's a Batman villain who's been around for 75 years. So, long, many, many decades of being an evil motherfucker. I don't know what his endgame is here. Will he end up controlling the people in Arkham? Maybe that's what it is. Not sure I care, but we'll see. I do like B.D. Wong, so I do like that casting. So now they've let Penguin go into the mess hall. Arkham Asylum is the only mess hall in the entire prison system that's co-ed, apparently. Ridiculous. Especially since they're insane. And some big guy is really pissed off because Penguin's got ice cream. I don't understand why the guy keeps screaming what flavor the ice cream is. Just stick your fucking finger in it and you'll know what flavor it is. Stupid. Yeah, so now it's an exterior shot of Gotham. A lot of Gotham is shot around New York City, so it's kind of fun to try to figure out where it might be. Although I think they might shoot elsewhere as well, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure a lot of it is shot in New York. So Bruce Wayne is meeting up with Selina to get a gun. Okay, this actually does not bother me, because there are some people who get all flip out that, oh, Batman slash Bruce Wayne should never want to touch a gun, whatever. Like, that's bullshit. Bruce Wayne has had guns plenty of times. Fuckers, even if you saw Batman Begins, Christian Bale has a gun early on in the movie because he wants to go kill Falcone and can't do it or something. When Batman was first, you know, in costume, he had a gun. He's had a gun off and on many times in his career. So that doesn't bother me. It more bothers me that Bruce Wayne still looks like he's just getting over the flu every time I watch this fucking show. Kid looks like he's, you know, half dead from consumption. I still don't believe that this kid will ever grow up to be Batman. Like, go back and watch, like, Empire of the Sun. You look at Christian Bale there. You can believe he might grow up to be Batman. Not this fucking kid. Alright, so we're at the police station where they keep killing all the cops, apparently. And we have a scene between, let's see, it's Gordon and Leslie Tompkins. Actually, one of the only things about the show which isn't bad, because the chemistry between these two is pretty good. And as many people know, it translated off screen because these two ended up hooking up, having a kid. I guess they've gotten married at this point. I don't know if the kid's been born out of wedlock or not. I don't know. I'm not up on the Hiddleswift style gossip. It's always that been out there. Because I don't really give a fuck. What's really weird about Marina Baccarin is that I feel like as she's gotten older, her overbite has gotten more pronounced. Like, I don't remember ever noticing it when I watched Firefly, then I noticed it somewhat more when I saw Homeland, and when I watched this show, it's like, Jesus Christ. It's like Alvin and the Chipmunks all of a sudden, her fucking upper lip. That's not to say she's not, like, extremely gorgeous. You know, fat ass like me picking on her is ridiculous, but whatever. And speaking of things that I don't mind about the show, holy shit, someone in the cast is named Stink Fisher? Someone's first name is Stink? Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, things I like about the show. I actually do like the casting of Alfred. I think it's Sean Pertwee? Is that his name? I like him. There's actually several pretty good actors on the show. They're just criminally wasted in ridiculous and stupid and simplistic storylines. But I like him. Hate Bruce Wayne, though. I mean, hate Bruce Wayne. Okay, so they're still trying to track down Matches Malone, and he just found out that a possible lead is some guy whose nickname is Cupcake, who leads this big gang of people called the Mutants. I'm guessing they're kind of riffing on The Dark Knight Returns, the iconic comic from the 80s that everybody has heard of at this point. A big part of that storyline is Batman facing off against the Mutants that have taken over the city. All these guys look like, you know, extras who failed the audition to get into the latest Mad Max movie. You know, they look more like they were something out of fucking Pat Benatar video from the 80s, like Love is a Battlefield or something. They look ridiculous. They look like they're more likely to start breaking out into dancing than fighting. Fucking mugging for the camera, these assholes. Alright, this guy who's the leader, Cupcake, putting aside being called Cupcake, that's not very clever. They should have made him, he's a big guy. He's big, he's black, he's bald, but he's not really menacing. I mean, even Charlie McBride would be more menacing than this fucking guy. Fucking David Ortiz would be more scary than this fucking guy. And yes, David Ortiz isn't black, I know. Who the fuck cares? You know what I mean. Alright, so they're going to pay this guy $50,000 for information on Matches Malone, but he's only going to take it if he gets to beat up Alfred. Really, because when was the last time these guys saw even $5,000, much less $50,000? Bullshit. Good in my house. Fuck you. That would be about taking a shower, the fucking ridiculous outfits these people are wearing. Really, he's turning down 100,000. He'd rather just take the 50 so he could beat up some old British guy. Stupid. Now here's the thing. They have established, I think, on this show, and in some later versions of the comics, that Alfred has got, like, fucking special forces training, or whatever he was. He was part of some special British espionage bullshit. I don't know if it was MI6 or fucking Alfred's supposed to be like almost like a fucking mercenary or something. Which, if you really think about it, maybe is kind of bullshit too, but we let it go. Because I always thought he was just like a lifelong butler, but whatever, it's fine. But anyway, some big beefy guy in charge of a group of guys called the Mutants, he should be able to beat the fucking crap out of with no questions asked if he's really what he claims to be. Pardon me, I might have just belched into the microphone. Drinking, you know. Really, a 20-something-year-old Puerto Rican girl is going to know a phrase like uncle. You got to say uncle. What is this? Was she a fucking sailor from the 1940s? Stupid shit. Alright, now we get the requisite poor man's fight club fucking bullshit scene. Alright, so it just started. This is what's going to happen. Alfred's going to get beaten the shit out of, but he's going to win in the end. Somehow. You know, he'll do something to bring the big giant down, knock him out, put him to sleep, some stupid shit like that. Let's see if I guessed right about it. Alright, so Alfred's getting the shit kicked out of him. His face is a bloody mess. He looks like Rocky Balboa. Oh, but look at that. Alfred gets the upper hand and, oh, he's doing a sleeper hold kind of a thing. Except he's not putting him to sleep. This would have made a lot more sense if he actually put him to sleep. I do like that Alfred's able to narrate what he's doing to Bruce while he's in the middle of fighting this 300-pound guy. So they knew they were going down there to pay $50,000. And at the end of the day, he was going to write him a check to begin with. He wouldn't have just brought the money. That's just stupid. But whatever. Oh my gosh, I made it to the first commercial break. So I'm just going to hit fast forward on this. We don't need to have a flashback of what commercials were on back in early March of 2016. So, and here we are. Did anyone watch American Grit? Anyway. Alright, so Alfred's in the hospital from the stupid fight, I guess, although he looks fine. What would he be in the hospital for? And apparently they have Alfred drugged up. I don't really know what internal injuries Alfred might have suffered in that fight that would really necessitate him being in the hospital. I mean, even if he had a few cracked ribs, big deal. I mean, in terms of comic bookness, who cares? Penguin and Hugo Strange are playing word association. Wow, Hugo Strange has got a nice suit. That's a fucking nice suit. Speaking of things I do like about the series, I really do like Robin Lord Taylor's version of Penguin. I mean, it's a little disturbing they decided to make Penguin like kind of a more of a psychotic serial killer type than he has ever been in his life, but Penguin's always been a little bit silly or goofy, even going back to the 1940s all the way through to the 21st century, so I don't mind them giving him a bit more of an edge. You just got to be careful when you do that with these characters, because you also want to make sure that all these iconic villains are very distinctly different from one another. If the Penguin and the Riddler and the Joker are all psychotic killers, then there's not much difference between them other than, you know, what their gimmick is. There should be levels of evil, levels of, you know, how far they would go. So I don't like the idea that the Riddler would kill. I don't think the Riddler's not a killer. That's not what he does. You know, he's an obsessive thinker. He's an overthinker. He's not a killer. So the fact they've already had that character kill on this show, on more than once, if I'm not mistaken, kind of ridiculous. And speaking of the Riddler, now we see Eddie Enigma. This actor actually wouldn't make a bad Riddler, but I don't really buy his character on the show. There's just something a bit too over-the-top obvious from the get-go. And it seems strange that he wouldn't be called out for his bizarre behavior from the get-go working at the police in the police department. Oh, okay, so Gordon, thanks to his girlfriend earlier, is now on the trail of trying to find out what happened to the woman who was Eddie Enigma's girlfriend for like a half a second on the show, who worked at the police department. She had a silly name like Christine Kringle or Chris Kringle kind of a thing. Haha. Well, here's the thing. I don't think there's a way that they should be able to pin that murder on Eddie Enigma. Because I don't see the Riddler, before he's even the Riddler, going to prison or Arkham Asylum for murder. It just doesn't make sense. And I do think that character talks more to himself than any other character I've seen on any TV show ever. Alright, so Alfred called the cops to come and the first time we see Donald Logue in the episode, and we're, 15, 16 minutes into it? Talk about criminally wasted actors. Donald Logue is so amazing in almost everything he does. Even when he's not, even when he's doing something stupid, it's still good, like when he's on Sons of Anarchy. But and he's a great choice to play Harvey Bullock here, but they just don't give him enough to do, and they just don't write the character as well as it should be written. That's a character that should be ridiculously over the top, Harvey Bullock. Slovenly, corrupt, etc. Now, I guess maybe now they're going to be on the trail of Matches Malone, too, and so now Bruce is at some big rock club. I'll be honest, right now, I'm trying to figure out if what I'm seeing at this rock club is actually from a club in New York, or it's just some set that they've created elsewhere. Oh, shit. It's Lori Petty is performing here. She's the punk rock singer. Is she supposed to be, quote-unquote, somebody? All right. They have her made up like a psychotic Harley Quinn type, but I know that's not who she's supposed to be. And much like the mutant scene, everyone is dressed in the most ridiculous over-the-top fashion, which is just not even remotely believable. It's like the fucking costume designer just works for bad music videos or something. Okay, I forgot. They do this stupid thing on the show where they have like a running thing with the car commercial that features one of the actors on the show. But the problem is when you have the actor be the guy that's playing a psychotic, in this case the Riddler character, it's kind of weird to then have him help promote a car. It's like, oh, I want to drive the car that this, you know, insane fucking potential serial killer likes to drive. Makes no fucking sense. Okay, fast forwarding. Oh, we're back on. So we're back at this club that I'm still not sure if it's a real club or not, but who cares? It's probably not. It's probably a set they created. So, let me get this straight. She was performing, then she jumped into the crowd, saw Bruce, and then they walked off. Brilliant writing. Well, this character certainly isn't like Lolly on Orange is the New Black, that's for sure. As you try to listen to hear what her name is so I know who she's supposed to be. What can I do for you? Oh. Sorry, you know my name. It's a cupcake called you. I assumed you already know why I'm here. I just want you to say. I'm looking for Ash's mom. Why? So killed my parents. She's got clown makeup on, so is this their way of just... Are they going to keep fucking with us on the stupid show? Keep having people with clown makeup just to make us think of the Joker? On one hand, the scene's kind of silly, but Laurie Petty does make it very watchable, which is probably why I didn't comment during it, because I was actually trying to pay attention and watch it. I just keep thinking about how much better this scene would be with a better actor than the kid who plays Bruce Wayne here. Because I think she's really good in the scene. She's a lot of fun, but he, you know, sucks. Okay, yeah, I just noticed what they're doing here. On stage, behind the band performing, they have, you know, images. And I just noticed that they had images of that guy who earlier, was it this season, we thought was going to be the Joker. And then they killed him off. Just saw him on the screen there. So they definitely keep dropping in Joker hints. Stupid. Alright, Gordon showed up to stop Bruce. So, are they a fucking punk tribute band to the guy who was sort of the Joker? And that's why she's dressed up like that? So now all the punk people are keeping Gordon there while Bruce gets away. So now Gordon's basically going to have to beat up a bunch of punk rock posers. Swell. That's not stupid at all. God, is the show over yet? When the fuck is Empire ever on it anyway? Alright, so Now the cops are arresting the Lori Petty character, but technically, what did she do to get arrested? Was it inciting the people to riot? Eh, whatever. Oh, I did like the cityscape there with this building where Matches Malone must be, because he saw like the elevated train go by. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier. I do enjoy the cityscapes they do on this show because they're of New York, but they add stuff to it. They add layers of buildings in there to make it look just a bit more congested or crowded. They obviously add an elevated train line because there is no elevated train line in Manhattan. We have it in Brooklyn. I think you have it in Queens, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, you do. But you do not have it in Manhattan, that's for sure. So, it's little bits of, like, a CGI and stuff. Okay, this is funny. The guy who plays Matches Malone is the guy who played the Nazi, the head Nazi in the final season of Breaking Bad. Was also the guy who was in season 3 of Lost. The guy who kept wanting to beat up Sawyer. So, Bruce is hiring Matches? Is it because he knows he's a hitman, so he wants him to go after whoever hired him? Is that what the implication is? I think I'm just going to say it was the fucking board at the Wayne Foundation who had him killed or some bullshit like that. By the way, that's what's kind of ridiculous and annoying about this, is that they make it into this whole big elaborate conspiracy about who killed Bruce Wayne's parents. And that kind of sort of defeats the purpose of Batman. It's not that it was some big conspiracy. I actually even hated when they kind of did that a little bit in Batman Begins, the Christopher Nolan movie too. No, it's just that it was just a common criminal. And it actually drove Batman, not crazy, but, you know, the fact that it took him so long to figure out, to find who did it, then track him down, and it wasn't some master criminal. It was just a common crook. Joe Chill. Alright, so Gordon has Lori Petty's character in the weird interrogation room that they have set up here. So I guess we're going to do yet another riff on Joker being interrogated. I know she's not the Joker, but she's wearing clown makeup and she's a little bit embracing anarchy here, so. Basically, everybody's ripping off Heath Ledger on this show, I guess. Alright, so basically, she just told him where to find Bruce and Matches Malone. Whatever. Oh, by the way, so we've established this is Matches Malone. The thing about Matches Malone is that he's constantly lighting matches. It's like his weird little tick he does. And this guy hasn't lit in one fucking match. Again, I know it's minor, I know it's a little thing, but it's missing those little things is what makes me hate this show in such a big way sometimes. I'm kind of assuming at a certain point we're going to establish in this scene that he's actually not the one who killed Lane's parents, because I don't think they come up with that revelation, you know, midway through the second season. So, this is going to be, like every other storyline involving Bruce Wayne on the show, it's generally going to go nowhere. Again, I think the show would be better if there was no Bruce Wayne. He should have just been shipped over. We should have seen him at the beginning. He should have been shipped overseas to some, you know, foreign boarding school or something. Wait, so is Bruce Wayne actually saying he definitely remembers that this was the guy? Did we get a flash of him seeing it? I just think they're going to establish it. This wasn't the guy. That's another dead end. No, I guess it was him. It's so weird that they would come up with this at this point in the show. But I guess it goes with the whole hired conspiracy thing, because it's not about finding out who the gunman is, it's about finding out who hired him, so whatever. Well, hopefully Dan, in the editing, just cut this huge gap I just left you, because I was kind of busy, wrapped up watching the scene, so I didn't really want to comment on it, because as I comment, I can't pay attention to what I'm watching. So basically, there's a whole big standoff between Bruce and Matches Malone, stalling over and over, so you know Jim Gordon's going to show up just before he can actually blow him away. Oh, he's not going to do it. Bruce Wayne is not going to be a killer. You have to wait for him to get older and become, you know, Michael Keaton or Christian Bale or Ben Affleck. Then he'll have no problem killing people. That's it. So that's it. That's all the scene was. That was a little bit disappointing. Really? After all that, then Matches Malone decides to kill himself? Okay. Why? Why? He just decided after talking to Bruce Wayne, the kid, like, yeah, I can't take living anymore. This kid has made me see the error of my ways. Although nothing during that scene indicated that. I mean, they did this thing like, go ahead, because he knew he wasn't going to fucking kill him. Ah, fucking stupid writing. You know why they did that? Just because they didn't want to deal with having that character, because then he would be able to unravel the whole fucking mystery. So, oh, what are we going to do here? I know, we'll just fucking kill him. But Bruce didn't come, oh, he'll kill himself. Why would he kill himself? I don't know. Stupid, fucking hate bullshit suicide crap like that. The fucking easy way out cliche. What a shock that they would do that on a show like this. Stupid fucking assholes. Alright, so now we're back at Arkham. And the guy who beat up Penguin earlier for the ice cream is in the big torture chair. And they've thrown Penguin in with him. And there's a couple instruments of torture there. A big set of pliers and a big knife. And he picks up the knife. So, as Hugo Strange is watching, now let's see what the fucking point of this is. So what's going to be the point of this? If he does something with the knife, is he in control or not? I don't understand the point of this. So, if Penguin frees him, they're proving that they've come up with a weird, psychotic way to reform criminals? Is that the point of this? But if Penguin then stabs him the fuck to death, then the Jezza failed after all? Oh, did not stab. Same. Are they actually going to let Penguin go? You're as sane and normal as any other. That's it? Miss Peabody, even. Have they planted something in him to fuck with him later on? Is that the point?
I'm pro you.
You're sane, ergo there is no reason for you to be in a mental health
Oh, by the way, Hugo Strange wearing another really dynamite suit and tie here. So, they feel that they've psychotically reformed him, and then they can release him. Okay, I'm assuming that we're going to find out what the real plan is after this. Because somehow they've probably... must be something like Manchurian Candidate kind of bullshit going on here. Because otherwise, I don't really understand the point of this. Ooh, and maybe by having them all programmed, when he activates them, that's what brings about the wrath of the villains. Stupid. It's also very weird for me to watch this because the woman who's his doctor slash assistant, I remember her from All My Children. And she was really kind of an annoying character in All My Children, so it's kind of funny I don't like her on this either. Did they do something to her nose? Because I don't remember her nose looking that weird and upturned before. Makes her look kind of feral and bizarre. Or maybe that's just her nose, I just don't remember it. Well, that's it. Penguin gets to walk out during a sun shower. Anyway, so a little bit more at the police station, talking about Malone. Gordon, of course, wonders who hired him. Bullock doesn't give a fuck. Not sure why Bullock wouldn't care. That's a little weird. It's one thing that's part of the whole police conspiracy thing, but he wouldn't know that. Oh no, they're doing more stuff with Enigma getting fucking obsessed with Gordon now. Jeez. And of course he's talking to himself in the middle of the fucking police station floor. He's rather loud and demonstrative. No one notices this. Stupid. It's over yet. Oh, Bruce left Alfred a note. So, Bruce left a note that he's going to go hang out on the streets with Selena. To do what? So he's going to go rough it on the streets to get a feel for how poor people live? Is this basically his common people walkabout or something? Oh, and of course this fucking note is full of portent of him becoming Batman many years from now, but... which is still kind of stupid to have, like, the 13-year-old Bruce Wayne talking this way. By the way, even though I'm still not sure, there's an 80% likelihood that I saw the girl who plays Selena Kyle on the subway train with a couple of her young friends a couple days ago. Either that or she's got a fucking doppelganger in this fucking city. And now we're at Enigma's place. He's got some China marker as he's staring at a newspaper with Gordon in it. Oh, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna draw some question marks? Which... doesn't really make a lot of sense other than, oh look, it's a Riddler-like thing. Let's see. Yep, that's what he did. And really? That's the big ending, that he put a question mark on Gordon's face? so fucking stupid. All right, well, put it this way, it wasn't the worst episode. In fact, thankfully, it didn't feature a lot of characters I hate on this show, so it was watchable. I think the problem with this episode is that it felt kind of pointless. We knew that we weren't going to resolve the Wayne murder situation. They came up with their own version of it, which is fine. You can change whatever the fuck you want to change, but it just feels pointless, especially if they keep pointing it to be some big, stupid conspiracy. It's like, ah, who cares? And if they really wanted to do a good job with the conspiracy, they should have killed the kid too, quite frankly. But, yeah, all right, fuck it. Episode's over. I'm done with it. I guess the next one's going to have Paul Reubens in it, so that should be fun. But as far as this one's concerned, yeah, one thing I learned, I need to drink more if I'm going to watch the show. I did not drink nearly enough to get through this fucking thing. So, again, don't know how interesting a podcast this will be. It probably will suck, but and I probably didn't curse enough, so I apologize if I didn't say fuck Gotham enough, but, you know, fuck Gotham. But that's about it. Okay, till next time.
Well, I'm not quite sure just how enjoyable that was.
Well, I can answer that. I actually listened to it. I mean, because I was editing it, but I'm just like, well, if I'm going to be making some remarks about this, I may as well just listen to the damn thing. So I think I listened to pretty much the whole thing, which, and I actually found it, I mean, I've been encouraging this idea the whole time, but I found it to be, it worked well, and it was enjoyable. I mean, I usually like commentaries when I'm watching, you know, good movies and stuff like that. At least I say that, but I never make the time to fucking watch them. But it was fun. I liked it. You did a good job. Wow. I'm considering doing something like that myself. So if listeners got through this, your commentary, which is probably better than mine would be, and they think that's a good idea, well, you have to say something in the comment thread for this fucking podcast, and then we'll know. But it was good. But it was good and enjoyable. You filled in some, you know, cool background information and made some funny jokes and complained.
I mean, I definitely wish that there had been more characters that I truly hate on this specific episode, because I could have really went off on it. I found myself just more just talking about it rather than making fun of it, which kind of surprised me a little bit. Here's the thing that I've learned from this. It is almost impossible to do a running commentary on something that you haven't actually seen before. So, I mean, it's one thing to live tweet something. That's nothing, because you're watching something, maybe you're pausing it, maybe you're not, you're just firing off a sentence on Twitter. But actually sitting there and talking about it while it's, you know, unspooling before your eyes and you haven't actually seen it before, that's difficult, because you kind of start getting wrapped up in the story, or you're trying to focus on what's going on, and you can't really make smart-ass comments while you're doing that, you know. So I'm going to say the odds of being able to pull off like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style wit here, if it's the first time you're watching it, it's pretty fucking unlikely. But like you said, listeners, please comment on the thread that will accompany this podcast. You know, let us know if you did enjoy this, if you'd like us to do something like this again. Will either be me doing another Gotham episode, because I do have 8 more. I haven't watched it. I'd like to binge watch all of them and then select one that would be really ripe for the picking for this, and then I could really go after it. Or do one, we can do one that Dan's watching something. I actually have a few shows in mind for you to watch. That might be kind of funny. And either way, we could do some sort of improvised riff track style commentary. I wish there was a way we could do it together, but I think that's really difficult if we're not physically in the same room. So.
Yeah, we probably could figure something out if we tried, and, you know, but once we, you know, do a couple of these things, if they work well, you know, we can do that. Maybe we can experiment on an episode of Frasier. That'd probably be kind of sweet.
you are so obsessed with the idea of doing a podcast about Frasier. Wait, who was that? Did someone just sneak into our room?
Surprise.
Uncle K.
That's our producer. That's our producer, Roz, from Bloomer, Wisconsin, 20 miles south of me.
Stop lifting up my night shirt. Anyway. So, since Dan enjoyed that podcast, which amazes me, hopefully you guys did too. And if you did enjoy that podcast, then you more likely will enjoy being on our Facebook page. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast Facebook page. Like the page, join the page, and you can join the conversation about any number of TV shows, as well as you can comment on our podcast there. You can also find us on iTunes the very same way, Serious TV Drama Podcast. You can subscribe to our feed, as well as rate and review us there. And you can find us on Twitter. I bet if you just look up Serious TV Drama Podcast, you'd find us on Twitter, but you probably want to know what our handle is. It's at STVD Podcast. It's STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. You know, I might not tweet all that much, but hey, why not have another follower? You follow us, I'm more likely to follow you. And that's about it for this experiment with Gotham. I hope it was not a total waste of time. I'll be fascinated to see how many times this one gets downloaded. And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell to title it. Because I feel it would be a little bit too egocentric to put my own name in the title, but I also kind of feel I want to sell this as me commenting on the show. So I got to make up my mind before we release this, what the hell I'm calling this thing.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, it's. I wish that was my biggest problem in life right now. What will I title this stupid podcast? Anyway, thank you for rejoining me on the podcast, and thank you, Cade, for peeking in for a second there, you weirdo. And good night to everybody out there.
Good night, Seattle. We love you.